Turundusraadio .
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to our Marketing Radio talk show number 97. My name is Anu Malaritz, and I'm going to be your host today. I'm from Marketing Institute in Estonia, and my guest via Skype is Antsi Suominen, who is Vice President of Business Development Nordics and Baltics in Coalition Rewards.
Hello, Anu. Thanks for having me in your show. This is a nice opportunity for me.
Turunduset tulee joonel.
And today, we are going to talk about coalition loyalty, what you already probably expected from the introduction of our guest. And to introduce the topic, I would like to tell a story. Last year, we made an interesting experience by offering people money for their loyalty cards. And most of them, by the way, were willing to give away most of the cards for nothing, or just for maybe 1 or 2 euros, because they told they never use the cards and they don't see point having it. The interesting part was to analyze what type of cards they wanted to keep, despite the money that was offered. And there were two types of cards they wanted to keep. One type was the cards they told that they are using often and received significant discounts, or at least they felt so. And the other type of cards were the cards were giving discounts in many different locations. So I think that this is a good starting point, talking more about coalition loyalty. And answering my first question now is that how do you in general, in your company, generate a loyalty program, coalition loyalty program?
To talk about loyalty and your first question is that how do you create a coalition loyalty program? Basically, it's very simple. You have three main elements for any working coalition loyalty program, and those are the partner network, the companies that we work with, then you have the members or consumers, if you will, and then you have the operator, as we are. Coalition Rewards is an operator for coalition model of loyalty.
So how do you do it? Just for our listeners, I would like to say that you are working with a program called PINS, so everyone knows we are talking about or what type of program. So are there different programs for different target groups within your coalition loyalty program, or are you targeting just the same group of people?
What we do is basically we do segmented targeting depending on the target group. So we have two functions when it comes to communicating to our member base. First is that we as program operator can approach all the PINS members that have joined our program, roughly 1.7 million now in the Baltics and Finland, which is a nice number, especially when we think of the fact that we were launched in Finland only in last May. So that's a big group of people. Yeah, that's very exciting. The other fact is that we allow our partner companies to target and send their own messages to their clients within the PINS member base. So those can be branded by the partners, they can be targeted the way they want, whether it is a personal profile targeting, depending on personal profile or the purchasing history of the particular member. So those type of target groups, either the whole member base or then targeted based on the behavior.
How to choose the partners?
Okay, yeah. How do we choose our program partners? It has actually a very simple rule or structure. We try to have partners in all of the major business segments when it comes to consumption. So for example, grocery, fuel, travel, clothing, sports, goods, and so on. So that is our strategy. So for each segment, we need an attractive partner.
Are you looking something else? Is it important that these partners are targeting the same end consumer, or is it important that they are targeting as wide or as different as possible end consumers?
Well, it depends on the partner, to be honest. In our system, when we communicate to the whole member base, to the whole PINS member base, roughly 1.7, 1.8 million currently, then that is done basically for consumer, customer acquisition purposes. We try to attract our PINS members to go shopping at our partners, basically. And once they have become our partner's customer, then our partner companies can communicate with their own member base, within the PINS member base, for, let's say, very common business objectives like for increased frequency or for better basket size or customer retention retention purposes. So that's how it works.
I wonder what are the success factors? Why is the PINS program so successful?
Well, in Finland, when we launched last year, we did quite a bit research before that what is actually the current situation in Finland at that time when it comes to loyalty. And we noticed that although we are rather saturated market in terms of loyalty programs, there were still room for a neutral operator of coalition loyalty and also international, more online-oriented, modern player in the market. So that was our findings, and we based our launch for those ideas.
Does that mean that your partners actually have two programs? They have their own program, and then if you say that the market was rather mature, then I would assume that most of the partners you have currently had some type of program before, and then they decided to join your program. Does it mean that they are administrating two of them now, or have you replaced completely the current programs?
It can basically go either way. We would like our potential partners, when we are negotiating with them, that they would replace their current programs. And quite often, if they first are not keen to do that, they will find out later on that it's much smarter to
operate one program instead of two.
yeah, because actually, it's once again, it's very 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 simple what we do and how we operate. It's all about sharing. Frankly, it's all about sharing. It's sharing the members and sharing the database, the member behavior, and it's also sharing cost. So when you have a coalition loyalty type of model, those things can be shared, and it is good on both ways. You'll be able to communicate with a much bigger audience, and you have your partner-specific costs are lower compared to standalone programs, and one of the fundamentals of coalition type of loyalty is that what we are looking for is to reward our members, and that is actually our mission, you know, to improve our partners' business by rewarding our members for their loyalty when they go to our partner shopping, and that is the key thing we do, our mission basically. So that is the way we like to operate.
If you talk about the online component, that let's say that you told that the old programs were more offline, and you are providing more of the online content. What does it mean in that context?
Well, it means basically the fact that our channels are basically all digital, and the way we communicate to our member base and do marketing is all e-communication. It's all digital, and we do not use our own channels when it comes to print or ATL or something like that. We do use them together with our partners. Once again, we share the cost and we use other types of channels for marketing than our own. But what are strictly our own are digital tools for marketing.
Can you tell me a success story among your clients who has joined the program and received significant growth in, let's say, basket size or acquiring new clients via the program or something else?
Oh, there's lots of examples.
I choose the best one.
I can give you a couple of ones. What we have noticed that among the main partners, the average basket size for our members, PINS members, is significantly higher than for those that are non-members in particular retailer. I can take any of the 3-4 biggest partners we have, and the same phenomena is there.
So how are you influencing it? What do you do in order to get the average basket size up?
We can do different types of campaigning. We can reward our members for increasing their shopping basket by certain type of messaging, getting extra incentive for buying a little bit more at the time when you go at our partners, for example.
Give me some concrete examples. How does it work? The campaign, you did something and boom,
yeah.
Something good happened afterwards.
There are one example could be from a grocery sector, for example. In grocery sector, the basket sizes are, of course, a little bit depending on what sort of grocery player you are. But if we can, if we assume, for the sake of example, that the basket size in Finland, for example, in grocery business, could be around 15 euros on the average, and then together with the partner, we decide that, okay, let's reward our member if he, instead of buying average basket size, buys, let's say, 5 euro more for visit. So we can follow that information and customer behavior. We can see that, okay, let's do a campaign. We set up the campaign rules, and then we shall reward those members who actually do buy bigger baskets. Let's say if the limit was 5 euro more per basket, they would then receive the incentive that we have together with the partner company decided. So that is just a very common, very plain example how that works. But also PINS program offers different type of other campaigning methods. It doesn't have to be for a basket size. You can also influence frequency and customer retention and trigger based campaigning based on your behavior at particular partner and so on. So
how much is the result dependent on you in PINS, or how much is it dependent on your partner for whom you are doing it? Are you deciding that, okay, in this sector we see that the average basket size is low, we want to increase it, and then you are knocking on your partner's door telling that, hello, here we are, we want to increase your basket size, would it be okay, that type of campaign? Or is it vice versa, that they are coming to you saying that, hello guys, I need my basket size to go up?
Well, to be honest, it works both ways. There are different sorts of partners. Some of them are very active in terms of coming up with great ideas that let's do this and let's do that. And then there are certain partners that are not so active towards us. So with those, we need to work a little bit more. With the strategic partners, however, we have a key accounting people, personnel in place for them, and we do attend their weekly meetings and are part of their marketing decisions and planning. And that is one key thing to underline. Coalition type of loyalty, like we are as in PINS, we are something that should be taken as a strategic part of the marketing functions in any of our partner companies, or then not to do it at all, because otherwise it's a waste of money, because coalition loyalty marketing, consumer marketing, the way we do it, can easily be added to the existing marketing plans and actions any our partners do. If they are investing money in multimedia campaigns on TV and so on, we can be next to it as one channel for the same message. And we have time and again proved that multi-channel marketing works the best. Our launch campaign was a very good example of that, how we combined earned, borrowed, bought, and owned marketing channels, put them together, shared the cost, and had a great success in Finland last year. So once again, it's about sharing.
If you say that taking a strategic approach, I think that when you want to increase loyalty in general, it needs a strategic approach anyway. Either it's a kind of a standalone program or a coalition program. Mm-hmm. Do you understand correctly that this was one of your, or has been one of the lessons learned during the time you have been active in the market, that if you take the strategic approach, it will give you better results?
For sure. That definitely is one of the findings or lessons learned, if you will, in the last 12 months.
Are there any others you would like to share, saying that this is what you should do, or what marketers shouldn't do?
Well, once again, there are a few things that pops up in my mind, but that was one thing. But then again, lessons learned in what we have been doing lately is that because to me the difference between coalition loyalty and standalone is so clear, and it's very down to earth also, because you cannot, as a company, when you operate a standalone program, it is very hard for you to make your member buy at one single shop so much that it can be rewarded in a meaningful way. So for the member value proposal, it is impossible to do it in a smart way. And then you fall back, or I shouldn't say fall back, but then you are back to only doing more and more discounting, and because there are no ways that you can reward your member with the one single source of business. So as an example, I can maybe I should of course use Estonian numbers, but for this particular example, in Finland, for example, we have roughly 40,000 euros the household consumption on annual basis. And with our type of model, if you are successful in attracting partners from all of the consumption sectors, we will come up to roughly 400 euros a year as reward currency or money, if you will. So that is already significant amount of money that will be coming back to our members. And we are not necessarily saying or telling our members that consume more, spend more. What we are actually doing is that since you buy food anyway, or since you buy clothes or travel, please do it with our partners, and you get extra benefits for doing that. That's the key, one of the key thoughts.
How easy is it to redirect the consumer habits? Let's say that you have a new partner you haven't had in the network. Probably the current partner was dreaming about hundreds of thousands new clients, if I exaggerate a bit. And then now you're facing the challenge. What should we do?
Yeah, well, this is a two-way street. We do share the members, we do share the data, we share the cost with the partners, but we should also share the spirit. We cannot basically make it happen for the partner alone. We need partner commitment. We need committed marketing people on the other side doing the actions that we do in our program. So it's wrong to say that sign the agreement and in 2 months' time you will have millions of new customers or whatever the number you were using is. So no, it needs partner commitment also. And smart marketing, smart campaigning, innovative things to do.
Give me some example. What are the innovative things of smart marketing, what you can do in order to change customers' behavior from one shopping point, what they have been used to another one?
Well, it all stems from the fact that we need to reward our member for his behavior, for his loyalty or her loyalty. We need to reward it, and then there are different types of rewarding. Let's say you are an home electronics retailer.
Okay.
And you have 40,000 or 50,000 items on your shelves. What is probably not smart to do is to offer great member benefit for all of the items in the shop. But you can do real dramatic marketing by choosing one or two big items or TV, for example, and advertise and communicate that get a super deal on TV, get several thousands of pins for buying this TV, and with those pins you can fly to Paris with your wife or something like that. Still, the investment for the partner is limited, but he gets our members to his store wondering that how can this be true, and at the same time, most likely this consumer will do other shopping for his home electronics needs, whatever they may be.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. It was a very good and explanation about the campaigns or ideas what could be done. How do you measure the results of the program?
We have of course KPIs, set different types of indicators for the key performance. For us, of course, the number of members is very important, and their activity is very important measurement. We like to increase the member base. We like together do campaigns for member enrollment with our partners. So we follow that quite keenly or quite precisely how many unique members we have in our program. And then, of course, we follow their activity, how many points or pins they will be earning, and so on. And then from there on, normal business targets are followed in terms of gross billings and profitability and so on. But a lot of the KPIs are set for the member behavior, and also the basic business let's say objectives of our partners, whether it's customer frequency or member frequency or average basket size or customer retention, because in some of our business segments that is a very, very important thing, that they do not lose their customers, but they will, you know, keep on coming back to the same place. For example, in the telecom sector, that is very well known for aggressive campaigning on and price wars and so on. So
as I understand, it's when the company does not want to operate their own loyalty program, or in case of Estonian market, what we usually see is that the company does not have skills and there are few skilled people in this area in the country. So it might be really difficult if you want to build up your own program. Then the smart selection would be to join a bigger program, use the know-how you have, use the tools you have. You don't need to have your own software, as I understand, to measure the loyalty, and then to benefit from the like cross rewarding.
Yeah, cross shopping and cross rewarding of the members. Basically, because we have different types of partner companies. We have local, we have global chains, we have national, and we have online partners. So basically, for all of our partners, depending of course their particular targeting needs and loyalty needs, we can offer different types of solutions, either for example, for the small and medium-sized business sector, for small companies, they are very welcome into our program. For them, it is not, it is not from a business case perspective, it is not possible for offering them a personal assistant or key accounting person at our side. But what we can offer is a very, very nice online tools for targeting their own customer base within the PIMS member base. And so on. So we can offer for them an easy access to a big PINS program for getting new members and activating the existing member base. And on the other hand, if it's a large national player, we can have very wide cooperation. As mentioned before, we can have our key account managers sitting in the marketing week meetings on a weekly basis, for example, and really try to work together for the best results. And on top of that, we have partner events where we can share the information with our partners together. And quite often, we do cross-partner campaigning where we share the cost once again. So very simple mathematics, actually. So.
What can a standalone loyalty program owner learn from you?
That they should join us.
Oh, I didn't expect that answer. But let's say so that they for any reason cannot or want not to join. What do you think they should? What would be the learnings from you?
Well, the learnings are basically that if, like you were mentioning in the very beginning, actually, if the loyalty program, whether standalone or coalition model, is not rewarding enough, you will not, as a consumer, you will not carry the card. It becomes a ice scrape for your car window, or it becomes a toy for your kid or something like that. You just don't carry them. We know that on the average in Finland, consumers have eight to nine cards, and our task is to be within top three of those cards. Otherwise, it will not be actively used. And the messages for the standalone program operators or companies is that how do you get on the top of the deck of the cards that consumers have? That's the challenge. If they can crack that code, then you know I will be very happy for them. But it is a challenging task. We have few brands in the world that can pull that off, in my opinion. Even very lately in Finland, Finnair and Stockmann joined forces because they realized that coalition type of loyalty is better than standalone. Like I was saying, only few brands in the world can sustain own programs, in my opinion, Starbucks or something like that with very, very good brand recognition and image. So, but otherwise, very challenging.
But what about loyalty program as a differentiator? The company wants to have give a different experience for the customers. Do you think this is waste of time and money?
No, well, of course, loyalty program standalone can be used for that, but then you are limited only the one for those that have actually come to your shop or your company. You wouldn't have the opportunity to attract new customers via the large member base that coalition loyalty operators tend to have. But when it comes to differentiating, of course, retail business in general, it's, as you know, it is all about customer relationship management nowadays. It's about having better customer experience, and for that, yes, you can use standalone program also. The fact is that standalone program just is more expensive to operate and doesn't offer you the benefits that coalition type of model offers when it comes to number of members or cross-partner activities or shared cause,
okay,
and so on.
The last question for this part is about food production. And the background of the question is that as Russia banned European food imports in August last year, then we decided to help our Estonian producers by providing them information from our guests about what should they do better in the marketing. And the question for you is also, what should food producers learn from your experience?
So for the food producers, my message is also, or any other suppliers, if you will, whether it's retail or grocery or any other business segment, the message is that that producer can also benefit from coalition loyalty in a way that they can have their products placed in a retail store, and our members can be rewarded by supplier-funded points or pins on pack advertising and that type of thing, where the beneficiary is of course the member, but the member gets better member value. The member gets more points, earns more pins for a particular item. And the partner company, a grocery for example, doesn't have to invest in those points so much because the producer is investing into those points. And producer benefits from the fact that his or her their product stands up in a selection of the retailer.
Okay, but does it mean that all the retailers have to join your program in order that the customers who are buying a certain food item from their store can use the PINS card?
Yes, it means that for a PINS member, in order to earn PINS points, yeah, the company needs to be PINS partner where he goes for shopping. Unless you have a PINS MasterCard where the investment for the member value proposal comes from the finance
from partner. The card provider.
Yeah, from the card provider, the finance partner.
Okay, but I think thank you a lot. I think it's a good idea for Estonian food producers to consider. Would there be a chance to sell more to increase the loyalty using this type of coalition loyalty program?
Yeah, maybe one more comment to that part. To be honest, should be in place. There's also an opportunity across borders here quite a bit. Well, you think of Finns coming to Estonia for shopping, so any retailer in Estonia is probably, if not happy, but at least somewhat interested of selling products to travelers from Finland.
Yeah, that's
now,
true.
Now, with 1.2 million PINS members in Finland, it would be, great opportunity for any partner company in Estonia or any company in Estonia to join PINS program and get access for targeted marketing for over a million Finns that travel Estonia anyway, as we know. So there's a big opportunity for the partners to grow their businesses by targeting messages to Finnish PINS members, not only the Estonian PINS members.
Very good, thank you. We are trying to sell more our cheese to Finns in the future.
Indeed. Indeed,
yeah.
Indeed, and as you know, that it's not only cheese that usually comes across,
yeah, I know,
the sea there.
Turundusuudised.
Trendwatching.com prepared 10 trends shaping the consumerism during 2015. And we have discussed almost all the trends by now. So this week we discussed the last trend that was pointed out. That was called brand stands. And that tells that customers now are more surrounded by branding content. And they expect that brands take a stand on issues and really share the point of views. And some examples here. One of them is Glamour Poland. That is a magazine that offered a free full-page advertisement and an editorial for an online community fighting bullying and trolling. and it was already done last year. And then the next example was about Pantene India, who that launched a campaign pointing out ridiculous claims that do not work and that were made by beauty products. So my question here is that what do you think? How should this trend influence companies in Estonia and Finland?
Well, this one I would have to just comment from a very, very general level. I personally believe that any brand should have a strong conscience of what they do and how they are communicating and most of all how they are perceived. So that that what they actually do and communicate is for real. I mean the fact is that transparency and brands, in my opinion, should stand for something, but would be a very hard task to, or it requires very careful thinking of how to do that in real life.
I absolutely do agree, because if I look from a different point of view and take the brand stand really and look from the brand owner's point of view, then there are always a lot of corporate discussions about what should we sponsor, how should we sponsor, whom should we sponsor, and do we really want to be connected to the very negative topics? And that's why often it seems when I look at the Estonian companies, they are choosing the more kind of the, let's say, the lighter topics. It's always easy to sponsor culture, maybe sports, even if it's not maybe children's activity. It's always so kind of fun and energetic, and it's a lot of going on there. But if it really go into the deeper points, what is happening in the society about the violence or really about the bullying or something, so the brands really don't want to go so deep because they are afraid of being really connected with these not so positive topics.
Yes, you are true. You are very correct in that sense. And I guess it's perceived as risky business from the brand point of view. But I think the ones that have the courage to do that will be the winners after all. In coalition loyalty or in loyalty in general, we quite often are engaged in some sort of charity and things like that. Once again, those are very neutral, positive things. But when it comes to these harder items, then it's basically non-existent for the moment.
Yeah, that's true. So I do really encourage Estonian companies, at least I don't know much about what Finnish companies are doing, but in Estonia to maybe go a bit deeper and to really choose an area that fits to your brand and to shows that you really care, that you don't just distribute money or do it for the fun's sake or for free PR, but you really care. I think that there are more and more people who really appreciate that. And I think that maybe you shouldn't worry about these few who say that it's too much.
Well, actually, that would be a very good hint for us also as Pins operator. We could definitely be more engaged in something like that. So thank you for the hint.
Oh, thank you. And let me know how does it go.
Yeah.
Very good. Turunduse
täht. Of course, I would like to lift up some of our partners in Estonia. And since I have been involved with the Pins Estonia partners rather short time, because my concentration was in Finland solely on Finland until last fall, and only after then that I have been involved in operations in the Baltics. I definitely would like to lift up Lux Express and Ellen Kahro, who's a marketing project manager over there, because they have been doing a brilliant job with coalition loyalty as one of the early partners for Pins and getting rather nice success together with us. And they have a very fresh example going on now. They have just launched roots inside Poland. So once again, saying that PINS is a cross borders program for not limiting to specific market only. So they have been using PINS as a marketing tool, and they launched it in Poland only last week, March 5th. So very fresh and very happy after the development.
Very good. My example comes from maybe even connected to our last topic about the trends and the brand stands. It's the hype about the dresses last week. I don't know, have you noticed the discussion about the gold and white or blue and black dress?
Yeah, of course.
And I think it's amazing when you look at that, what happens. And then, of course, you understand that there should be something behind. And then you see that it's the Salvation Army talking about the home violence, as I understand. Mm. So I think that it's a very good way to draw really attention to a problem and to get people engaged so that they don't even understand what it's about. But everyone is discussing, looking at the Google Trends, you see that, wow, everyone is looking about the gold and white dress. What's about the dress? It seems for me something like was the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
Somehow
true.
Someone understood how to make people talk about the things that you at the beginning don't even understand, but then you see that, wow, it's a great story.
Yeah, that is a very good example also indeed.
So we have two candidates. What do you think, whom of them should receive the award?
My vote goes for yours.
Okay. Mine too. But I want to say that what Lux Express does in Estonia is amazing. And I'm really great fan of them. If I can, I always use the services. So I really look forward to giving the next awards to them. So I really appreciate what they do.
Of course, that is true for my side as well. But the context in your example, of course, is even more wider and more respectful, so to speak. So yes, very happy.
Turundusdoktor aitab.
And the case study this week sounds like that. Hi, I'm launching my first clothing collection and wanted to use as much social media as possible. I started to blog about my collection and posting in Facebook. I have been doing that for a month now, but it seems that I'm not reaching anyone. Now I was thinking about starting to use Twitter as an additional channel. Would you suggest that? If yes, what should I do there? If no, what else should I do in social media to make my target group, that is consisting of women in the 30s who are working in the offices, to start noticing me and my collection?
Well, now there's a question. Well, social media is, of course, very active and can be used in many ways. But if I was this business owner, I would probably take more comprehensive approach for my marketing. Just do the basic homework, do the planning, and have some sort of research, some sort of evidence-based facts that what are the channels that should be used for my business. Is Twitter the right type of tool for this kind of operation? To be honest, I wouldn't know. But if you look at the challenge that she's having, that she's unknown, she's just started. So first thing she needs is those customers. How do you better find customers? I mean, where does your customer acquisition take place? Is it Twitter? Is that something that is proven to be good for those purposes or not? Or could it rather be something more like loyalty type of things, or even coalition loyalty type of thing, to that would enable you to first acquire those customers, and then you could take a decision of what kind of tools you use for communicating with them. So those are the advice that I would like to give for this particular case.
My thoughts went almost to the same direction. I was thinking that when we usually advise or think about the small companies who are starting the businesses, then in the marketing, if they in my training sometimes ask that, what should I do? What is the first thing I should do in order to start? Then usually the answer is that try to build some kind of strategic partnership with someone. So we already move also towards the coalition idea, that try to start to partner with someone who has access to the clients, who knows the clients, who knows the behavior, do offer some value-added services or whatever things you can do with your collection to the client. Maybe it can be a bank you are approaching to with your collection. If you say here that this is women working in the offices, maybe it can be a lawyer's agency or bureau or something where you also have women working there, or any other type of office. And I think that starting a cooperation with them would probably be the first thing, helping to really get in touch with the real customers, understanding what do they think about your collection. And then really, you probably can build on the social media, but I think that... of course, the social media seems to be for free at the beginning, yeah? But on the other side, if you look at how much time to put on the social media in order to get some coverage, in order to get some people noticing it, then it's never for free. It's the time that is valuable, so maybe it's not the first place to start from.
Plus, you have also digital tools for communicating with the large group of people, if you so decide, whether it's display marketing or some sort of retargeting and so on. So those type of channels would probably be more efficient
yeah. than the just blogging and the Facebook page. Yeah. Mm. And I think that there is another thing also that probably should pay attention to, is that about what is the type of content you're posting. Because if you say that you're blogging about the collection, or it's always interesting for a designer and to think about how the designers think and so on, but the question is that, is it interesting for your target group? Or are they considering completely different things when they buy clothes? Maybe they are looking at the functionality. How does it fit? How easy is it to clean? How does it look? Maybe there is just a few of them who really want to dig into the designer's mind and understand how the collection was born. So it might be also that the different type of blog postings and different type of content may help you to reach different type of customers. And maybe at the beginning it's difficult to understand where the collection is positioning. So maybe it's worth of trying different types of content.
True, agree.
So, Anssi, thank you a lot for our show today, for being with us for the very good ideas. And dear listeners, please listen us again in a week's time. And meanwhile, please send us different cases. You know we love to solve them here.
Sulle meeldis Turundusraadio. Telli endale meeldetuletus järgmiste saadete kohta Marketingi Instituudi kodulehelt.